Fenny was talking about people making resolutions, and two things that always come up, I think, in a lot of people's lives, the New Year's resolutions are one is your physical body, right? People say, I'm going to go on a diet, I'm going to get healthy, I'm going to start exercising, I'm going to lose, 15 pounds, whatever it is, right? That's one thing. The other thing is usually about money. I'm going to keep my finances in control, especially with all the Christmas shopping, all the thousands of dollars I just spent. Half of it on gifts, half of it on myself, Now I got to pay it off, so I got to get my finances. And if you look at magazines, usually that's, or newspapers, that's what they talk about in the New Year's and in the first week or so. And in January issue of Wire magazine talks about building a better body, because that's what we want to do a lot of times in New Year's. But the approach here, it's not so much you do exercise and stuff. These are literally building a better body. Okay, literally. What I mean is this. They say you can optimize your eyesight to 20/10 by getting a LASIK. So these are different ways you can improve your body. So you can surgically improve your eyes, right? And then you can get knuckle replacements that will speed up your typing and piano playing. Or guitar playing. You can fly on your guitar neck like Jimi Hendrix, Knuckle replacement. And you can upgrade your elbow ligaments so that you can throw harder and swing harder. And you can also implant a pleasure center in your brain. So when you feel depressed, you just zap it and you'll feel better. and you can rebuild your knees so you can jump higher for those that want to dunk. right? And so literally it's talking about rebuilding your body physically. And you can talk about different ways you can train your heart and so forth as well. I think you see, we all want to have better bodies. We want to have smarter brains. We all want to have our, we all want to push beyond our physical and mental limitations. We want to make more money, make our future more secure. And that's why there are all these magazine newspaper talk about it in the new year. But then the thing is, see, reality, we know not everybody's going to have a body like Christian Bale from Batman Begins. No, it's impossible. Not everybody's going to have that. Or not everybody's going to be billionaires like Bill Gates. It's impossible. But the thing is, everybody can have the best life that God wants us to have. Now, the world tries to sell us this bill of goods with our body, with money, and we work and slave after it, and we can never get it. But God has the best life for us that we can have, that we can experience. And today we're going to look at the secret to that. And let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12 again, to the passage that Josh just read to us. Genesis chapter 12. And if you're following along with the Life Journal devotional plan, you should have read this a couple of days ago. and that's what we're going to be doing this year. I'm actually going to be preaching, following the readings of every week's a devotional. So if you still want to get a copy of Life Journal, we have, I think, maybe three or four left. And you can still get the bookmarks with all the readings as well. So we still have plenty of bookmarks. So Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 9, I believe that this is God's secret to us, to a life of his fullest blessings, the best life that God wants us, each, every single one of us, to experience, the best life that God has uniquely designed for you. It's not going to be the same. Everybody's not going to be billionaires. But you can still have the best life. And this is the way. If you look at the story of Abraham, Josh has read to us. I mean, it's amazing what, if you really think about what happened to him, what he did, it's truly incredible, because he was living in this country, Ur, which is a kind of a Ur. That's a strange name. But he was living there with his family. But one day, God just told him, I want you to pick up your bags. I want you to relocate. I want you to just uproot everything and move to this place that I will tell you. Just start moving. I'm not even going to tell you where it is yet. Till you get there, then you'll know. Just start moving. So he had to leave behind his country, his people, and his whole entire family. Because imagine, those of you that have a family, especially with small kids, and one day, you know, God says, I want you to move out of Fremont with all the nice schools and the best, you know, the nice educations and good jobs. I want you to pick up everything and just move. And just start walking. And as you start walking in this direction, you'll find out where you're going to end up to be. And it's not like I want you to move from Fremont, California to San Diego, California. It's like I want you to move from Fremont, California to Santiago, Chile, or something like that. I mean, it's like that. You move to a different country. Abraham had to move to a different country. And God says, I just want you to move there. And I'm going to bless you. I think to a lot of us, this is a very scary thought. And Abraham literally just picked up and moved based on God's promise of a blessing. Now, let's look at that again. God says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, when God said that to him, what the Bible tells us, so we read, he was 75 years old, right? He's supposed to be he's supposed to flourish into this great nation. But you know what? If you look at his life carefully, he never really experienced the full extent of God's promise. He never saw it. He never experienced it firsthand. Even his first son, the only son that he had, was 25 years later. Can you imagine God telling you, I want you to pick up your bags and move to this place, and I will bless you. I will bless you. And you're sitting there waiting for 25 years, and you don't see anything. And that's what Abraham experienced. But if you read in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, and he lived in tents. He went out and he stepped out in faith. And we know that he ultimately experienced God's fullness, God's personal promise, God's blessing, God's miracles, literally, because he was too old, right? He was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and his wife was 90. Now, can you imagine a 90-year-old woman giving birth? I think it's a pretty scary sight. I don't know. I know. But God's way to best life is active faith. God's way to best life is active faith. God says it is possible for you to experience all that I have prepared for you if you act out in faith. And that's what we see over and over again in the Bible. In fact, the 11th chapter of Hebrew, it's just event after event, record after record of all these people that acted on their faith in the promise of God. And we read in our devotional this week as well, in Luke chapter 5. And I mean, let's read that together. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5, 17 to 20. Remember this week's devotional, you're reading from Genesis chapter 1 to 19 and Luke chapters 1 to 7. So in chapter 5, we read about this guy and his friends. Luke chapter 5, 17 to 20. Let's look at it together, okay? It says, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, and they had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. And some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And later on, Jesus told him, pick up your mat and walk. And he did. He picked up his mat and he went home. This is an act of faith. If you look at this, I mean, this is it's actually very, very incredible. Imagine you have a friend who is paralyzed and could not move. And you know that this miracle healer is at my house. Okay? And there's so many people there, you cannot get in. So you bring, I don't know, a heavy boulder and just smash a hole through my roof, right? And then you climb up there and you lower your friend down into my house. And that's literally what they did. And you don't know what kind of trouble you're going to get in, right, for smashing my roof. And you know, the police might come and arrest you. You don't know what's going to happen to you. But that's what they did, because they believed, they acted in faith. They trusted, they believed in Jesus. And the paralyzed man had faith as well, right? Because when Jesus told him, get up and walk, what if he tried but he couldn't move? Have you thought of that? A lot of times when we pray to God, we are afraid to move and we're afraid to act. We ask, God, please heal me. But we don't really believe it. So we just kind of sit there like nothing had happened. Right? But this guy, no, he and Jesus told him to get up and walk. He did. He got up and walked. That's a step of faith. And with that step of faith, with that active faith, he experienced God's faithfulness. A lot of times we like to talk about faith as some sort of concept, some sort of theological statement, or maybe sometimes it's a feeling, or it's just a principle, or something abstract. But faith is not so abstract. Faith is about action. Faith is about action. Are you willing to take that step? Are you willing to step out and experience God when God said, this is what he's going to do? That's what faith is all about. It's not some sort of theological treatise, or it's not some sort of philosophical idea. It's about action. Oftentimes, we're not able to experience God's fullness, God's best, because we are afraid to act upon God's promises. Hebrews 11, all these people, it's about action, how these people acted based on God's words, God's promises. See, God's way to best life possible is active faith. It's active faith. It's faith based on action. I think I might have told this story before I can't remember exactly where I heard it. I think it was way back in college, actually, in a classroom. And the teacher was telling us about a construction, a huge skyscraper. And it was finished, and it's one of those skyscrapers where the outside is all, at least the top, some of the levels, the outside is all glass. Right? So basically, you're in your office, you look out, you can literally look out, and it's like 40, 50 stories tall, and you just look at all these ants on the bottom, right? And it's very tall. And so when they opened up this place to be used by office, everybody, even though they have all these aisles along the edges of but everybody would walk toward the middle of the building and travel in the middle of the building. And so it causes congestion just in all the people walking around, not avoiding the sides and just walking in the middle. So the management decided, okay, they need to reassure people that this building is safe. You can actually walk in the edge. You can even push the window and push the glass, or you're not going to fall out, right? So the management came up and told the employees, and saying, this is a safe building, and they brought out all the specs of this glass construction and glass and metal construction, this frame. It says, see, this is according to a government regulation. There's no way that you can break this thing. You will not fall out. But obviously, it doesn't do anything because people still look out and it looks kind of scary. So nobody walked. And so they call the structural engineer and came and gave a talk with PowerPoint presentations, right, about how safe the building, how secure the walls are. Didn't work. So finally, they called the construction foreman, who literally oversaw the building of this part of that building. And so the guy just went up there. He's not really much of a speaker. And so he same thing. He just gave the statistics on how these things are really secure. And after the talk, he says, I'm going to show you one more thing. Right? So he just went like this and started running full speed toward the wall and just go bam, right into it. Right? Now, everybody believed after that. Because it's action. They show you. It's not just talk. It's not just ideas. It's not just these abstract thoughts. It is action. And that's what faith is all about. You demonstrate your faith with your actions. And that's how we experience God. You act based on God's promises. So God's way to the best life is active faith. But at the same time, the sure way to throw away all the blessings is unbelief. Right? That's a guaranteed way to throw away all the blessings. It's unbelief. Jesus, after he started his ministry, he went back to his hometown. And he said, I was not able to do a lot of miracles as he was doing all these other places. He was healing all kinds of people. And the Bible literally said everybody who comes were healed. But the Bible recorded for us that when he went back to his hometown, Jesus could not do miracles. Jesus! He could not do many miracles. Why? Because of their lack of faith. Because of their unbelief. I mean, Jesus, of all people, because of their unbelief, because of the lack of faith. And that's, I believe, why the main reasons we are not experiencing God the way he intends us to experience him. A story of Abraham and Sarah, same thing. They had a moment of unbelief. They did not trust that God will provide them their own child. So Sarah had Hagar sleep with Abraham and bore a son instead. And Ishmael was born. Create a lot of family strife. In fact, create a lot of war strife today. Because the people of Israel are still fighting today with the descendants of Ishmael. Now imagine Abraham and Sarah back then thought, okay, I'm just going to go with my own way. I'm going to figure out my way to satisfy God's promises. I'm going to do it my way, and I have Ishmael, and that's it. This is God's blessing for me. That's all there is. I don't have any more faith anymore. Imagine what would happen if that's all they had. Unbelief and lack of faith literally take away the blessings that God intends for us. Imagine a paralyzed man who was healed. He just sit there and said, you know, I don't really believe this healing business. So he stayed on his mat. I think we have a problem with unbelief today, and we are throwing away God's blessings and holding God off at a distance and not allowing his abundance, his mercy, and his power to really envelop us. How do I know? How do I know that we have a problem with unbelief? Well, because if you look at our lives as a congregation, as a generation, we are unwilling to step out in faith and act. When we're not willing to step out in faith and act, I know there's unbelief because we do what we believe. People are taking all kinds of and buying all kinds of, you know, weight loss pills because they believe that the weight loss pills work, even though they don't. they really don't work, but they believe that they work, so they buy it. And most people do not believe that, you know, regular exercise is good for them. They know it's good for them, but they don't think they really believe it, because they believe that they'll do it. Same thing with our faith. I don't think we really believe in God, because we don't act. How do I know? Well, when we're not willing to dedicate one day a week in worship, I know there's a problem with our unbelief. Because I don't think, it tells me that we don't think God is worth it. We don't think God is real. We don't think God is here. We don't think God blesses us. I think there's an unbelief in the power of God's word to feed us, to satisfy us, to nurture us, to transform us, to make us wise, to bless our life through God's word. I don't think we believe in God's word, because we don't read it. We don't study it. We don't hunger after it. It's a problem of unbelief. We don't really believe that God's presence satisfies us and guards us, because most of our times, we live most of our life without ever thinking about God being there with us. You know, the concept of God's omnipresence, I don't think we really believe it, because we can live in sin and still think, well, I don't think God, you know, God doesn't really care. God's not seeing. That's a problem of unbelief. I know that we have a problem with unbelief because we don't believe in God's design of the church, of fellowship. We think that we don't need to connect with people. We don't think that we need to be authentic with people and really hold each other accountable. So we said, I'm just going to be by myself. I don't care about the people around me. That's a problem of unbelief. James chapter 2, 14 to 19 says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if people claim to have faith but have no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. See, thinking an idea and believing an idea is not enough, because James continues to say, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. It's action. It's active faith. If you and I are not doing what we say we believe in, then we don't believe it. See, God wants to bless us. God wants to give us the best right now, this year. And all we need to do is just to step out. Step out in faith. Act in faith. Action in faith. For us, for many of you who are married, we need to step out and act in our marriages according to God's way. God says, forgive. Forgive your spouses for the hurts. God says, you need to grow yourself. Change yourself. God says, learn to mutually submit. God says, love. Right? I don't think we really believe it, because we thought, you know, our marriage is too hard. It's too hard to love the other person. It's not worth it. I can't do it. I can never change. It's a problem of unbelief. We don't believe that God can empower us to change. So we just sit there, suffering, complaining, and that's it. Losing the blessings that God has for us. But act in faith in your parenting. You know, we so worry about our kids. And God says, lead them in His way, not according to the world's way. And we know your kids will grow up well. But we are afraid. We want to do what everybody else is doing. We don't really trust God. We feel that unless they are involved in gazillion activities, their neurons are not connecting right. Unless we stimulate them. Right? Act in faith in God's way for parenting. Act in faith in your career, in your education. God says, When you work for your boss, you're not just working for your boss, you're working for God. And when you do it that way, your job is totally transformed. You're not just working to earn money. You're working for God to touch lives, no matter what you're doing. You're not just working to earn money, put food on the table. You're working to transform the world. And God says, do not compromise your time at your work. Don't be lazy. Don't skip out. At the same time, God says, don't place your work as your God. God is your God. Oftentimes we can, it's very easy for us to rationalize, oh, I'm busy, so I got to stay at work on Sunday. Can't come and worship God. It's an unbelief. It's lack of faith. I think this morning I particularly want to speak to many of you who are college students and young adults. It's time to step out in faith for you guys specifically. Because we're living in lifestyle compromises. And God's looking at us and say, I don't think you believe me. Because if you believe me, you will not live this way. You know, we are really shoddy in the core of our faith. We don't even know Him. We don't know who God is. Our concept of God and our knowledge of the Bible is really shoddy. And God says, it's time for you to find out. And it's time for you to trust in me and my words. Step out in faith in a lifestyle of holiness. At your workplace, in your dating relationship, in your social life, in your entertainment, in your partying at night. You know, don't compromise in these areas. In your daily feeding of God's word. I know many of you are, before even thinking about doing devotions, you already gave up. He says, this is too hard. It's impossible for me to put 1 hour a day for God. It's a problem of faith. It's a lack of faith. That's why we're going to have this Sunday school so that there's a way for you to be fed. There's a way for you to be established at your core so that you can step out in faith. Worship God weekly. I mean, this is the most fundamental things. Just coming to Sunday to worship God one day a week. I think sometimes we don't really believe that that's worth it. We're pushing God away, and we're wondering, how come I don't feel God? You know, we can't feel God when we push Him away. I want you to take out your bulletin as we continue our worship through communion. I want you to think about, what is it that this year God wants you to step out in faith in? I know you see this map there. This map is a map of Abraham's travel from Ur to Canaan. And I circle for you where Ur is, so you can find it. I also boxed in an area that's outside of Ur. I know that this year God is calling many of you to go to places you've never been before. Why? Because God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. So as we continue our time of worship, I want you to take some time to write down places that God wants you to go this year in faith. And make that commitment to God, to yourself. Step out in faith. And as we observe and celebrate a time of communion, continue to pray and ask God to reveal that to you. And as you come up to receive the communion, receive God's power, God's promises, and God's strength to you as well. And that's what Christ did on the cross. He died so that it makes this relationship that we have with God possible, so that God's promises become real to us. And we're going to do things a little bit differently today as well. I'm going to ask you to come up here. So the bread is here, the cups are here, there are four sets. I want you to come up here and feel free to kneel anywhere in this front. and make that commitment to God for this year. Okay? So as Christ took the bread on the last supper he shared with his disciples, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. And do this in remembrance of him." And so as you come up today, I'm going to ask you to break a piece of the bread, dip it in the cup, and kneel before God in dedication to him. Step out in faith for the year. So I'm going to ask the people in the sound room to start playing the music, and let's just worship God with this time of dedication to him.